I have observed you and what has been done to you in Egypt. And I promise that I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to a land flowing with milk and honey. Do you want God to guide you? Do you want God to be with you? Do you want to go to the promised land? Well, first, you'll have to stop at the mountain. The mountain of God, Mount Sinai. The Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And you shall set limits for the people all around, saying, 'Take care not to go up into the mountain or touch the edge of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall be put to death.' And the rocks shook and the lightning flashed, and God descended in smoke and thunder." Israel, you're used to the false gods of Egypt. Meskhenet, the goddess of birth and destiny, or Isis, the friend of slaves, or Horus, the god of war. In fact, there were thousands of gods. Very powerful, but really very human-like. They promoted a certain kind of morality, but they themselves were not always moral. Maybe if you did something wrong, a magic incantation or a payment to a priest would bring forgiveness, or maybe the god would just choose to overlook your human weaknesses. But the God who descended in fire on Mount Sinai was not like the gods of Egypt. This God, present everywhere, would be the king of his people, a king who is completely holy and totally pure. But the children of Adam are not pure. In order to be God's people, you must love God with every action and thought, every moment. You should never serve an idol. Is there anything in your life more important than God? That's an idol. No, you must honor the Lord's name completely, and in his honor, rest one day in seven. God is gracious and merciful, and you need to be gracious and merciful with others. You should always respect your parents and care for your family. Thou shalt not kill. Well, neither will you hate your brother in your heart. That's murder of the heart. Those who hate are murderers. You will be faithful to your husband or wife. Are you looking around the room wishing that your wife looked like her? Or wishing that you had married him? God can see adultery of the heart. When you were younger, you stole something. You lied, you had envy in your heart, and you blamed others for your faults, and blamed the all-powerful and holy God for the problems in your life. "Don't you understand," says God, "my eyes are too pure to even look upon evil. I will by no means clear the guilty. I must punish sin without exception." The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit speak from the mountain in smoke and thunder. If you want to live as the people of God and be in the promised land, you must be pure in every thought and action. I stood at the foot of Mount Sinai with the people of Israel, and I shook with fear. With the people of Israel, I said, "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." But in my heart, I knew that my promise was another lie. Since then, is there a single commandment that I haven't broken with my heart, if not with my hands? And I'm left alone with nothing but my shame. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's dark and cold. There is shame and death for me at the mountain of God, Mount Sinai. But there's another mountain.
There's an ancient saying, a possibility of hope. On the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. On the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. The mount of the Lord, the other mountain, Mount Zion. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am the one who has laid a foundation in Zion, a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. That cornerstone is Jesus. But this is the same Son of God who is present at Mount Sinai. The same Son of God who judges the wicked and oversees the eternal judgment of the wicked in the flames of hell in Revelation 14. When the time comes for judgment, the people of the earth call on the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. But somehow, on Mount Zion, there's hope for me. Do you remember how Moses lifted up the bronze serpent in the wilderness, and how everyone who looked at it was saved from death? In the same way, Jesus was lifted up on the cross outside the city, and whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. But God will not clear the wicked. He is holy. But Jesus took my place. He wore my dishonor and was covered in my shame. Just a few years after the death of the last apostles, an unknown Christian wrote these words. But when our wickedness had reached its height, and it had been clearly shown that its reward, punishment, and death was impending over us, and when the time had come which God had before appointed for manifesting his own kindness and power, he gave his own Son as a ransom for us, the Holy One for transgressors, the blameless one for the wicked, the righteous one for the unrighteous, the incorruptible one for the corruptible, the immortal one for them that are mortal. For what other thing was capable of covering our sins than his righteousness? By what other one was it possible that we, the wicked and ungodly, could be justified than by the only Son of God? Oh, sweet exchange! Oh, unsearchable operation! Oh, benefit surpassing all expectation, that the wickedness of many should be hid in a single righteous one, and that the righteousness of one should justify many transgressors. The Apostle Paul had said it this way: for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. How can I be the righteousness of God? My hands are stained with blood. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, said Jesus. Repent and believe the gospel. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem, from Zion, the mountain of the Lord. Repent and believe. But how sincere does my faith need to be? How should I live in God's presence? How good does my heart need to be? No, says Paul. You follow the world. You follow Satan. You're dead in sin. How can a dead person be sincere and do good works? Stop looking at what you have done. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. But God, rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raises us up with him. If you repent and believe, you are hidden with Christ in God. God accepts you because he accepts his own Son. If you try to gain God's favor by your good works or your pure heart, or even by your faith, you're lost. It will never be enough. You're trying to climb Mount Sinai, and to even touch Sinai is death. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. You haven't changed into a holy person. Your sin is covered and you are holy in Christ. God says you are righteous, not because of a change in your life, but because you are in Christ and he is righteous. But I failed again this morning. But you don't know what I did many years ago. My friend, God doesn't see it. Because if you put your faith in Christ, all that God sees is him. Stop talking about yourself. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Repent and believe. So is forgiveness like a payment for my faith? No, you don't have that much faith. God uses your faith to give you a free gift. It's his work, not yours. In Christ, God justifies the ungodly. I didn't do it. God did. God says, I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior. So we stand in front of Mount Sinai. We tried to find salvation there, but there was only shame and death. We weren't able to climb the mountain. To even touch it was death. And some people today still try to climb it. I believe in Jesus and in my good works. I want to bring my filthy garments into God's presence. Someone will come to you and tell you that there is still something missing. Jesus' sacrifice was not enough. He needs your help. But I have nothing to offer. Mount Sinai is slavery. But the heavenly Mount Zion is freedom. Jesus Christ is his foundation. God says, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So we fix our eyes on Zion. We look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Do we understand the cross and the resurrection? Jesus died the death of a sinner. He offered himself as a sacrifice. We know that God accepted his sacrifice because God raised him from the dead. We are saved if we are in him, if we have died and risen with him. He did it all. It is finished. On the mount of the Lord, it was provided. There's nothing left for us to do. Nothing left for us to gain. We have everything in him. We can rest in him. Believer, beloved church of God, when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. There is no other hope. He is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. In him we have life, righteousness, and honor with the family of God forever. Amen.